Well, today is a special service. We're giving kids an opportunity to be baptized today. We've been letting them know that this service was coming, and if they were interested and ready to make this step, then we wanted to give them an opportunity today to do that. And so that's going to come a little bit later in the service. But it raises the question, should we be baptizing kids and youth? As a church, is that something we believe in? Is that something we should do? And I hope we'll answer that today. We're going to look at God's Word a little bit about that. I guess the real question in my mind is, can a child or a youth be a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ? And my guess would be that if we can come to that conclusion, then I think the step of baptism is a step of obedience that all believers in Christ are supposed to take. And so we'll just see if that all fits together today. So we're going to go to to God's Word here to look into that. And we're going to go to one of the old classic Bible stories that you may have learned as a young person, maybe even as a child, maybe even before you were a child, maybe even as an infant, and maybe in your infant's first baby Bible or something like that. These stories tend to find their way there, and don't you find it's interesting the kinds of stories that end up in those baby Bible stories? Like, they just pick, you know, Noah and the flood. God wipes out all mankind. But look at the fuzzy elephant floating in the boat. Isn't that cute? God was grieved that he had made man. But look at the giraffe. He's so tall and spotted and fuzzy. Isn't he cute? So the stories that make it into our kids' Bibles don't always tell the whole story. But today we're going to look at another story that's like that, the story of David and Goliath. But maybe if you haven't been there recently reading that story, there may be more parts to it that were kept out of your baby Bible book as well. So we're going to revisit this today, and you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. That is where we find this story, and we'll get ready to go. All right, so everybody found 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm not going to just read the story, because that's just not the way I like to do stories. And so I'm just going to highlight on some verses. You can follow along as I'll mention the verse that this is found in, but I'd rather tell you the story than read you the story today. And so in order to do that, I need you to close your eyes for a minute, because we just have to get you in the right mood for storytelling. So everybody just close your eyes for a minute, and relax your brain. Now for some of you, you haven't used your imagination for a while, so this is going to hurt. But we want you to use your imagination and picture the land of Canaan long time ago, and there's two armies. There's one on one hill and one on another hill, and there's a valley in between them. And these two armies are standing there. One is the Israelite army and one is the Philistine army. And they're standing on these two hills, and you can picture it. They've all got swords and weapons and all those kinds of things. And in this valley, this man walks into, and you can open your eyes now. Ryan. Ryan is going to help me here. In this valley between the two armies is this giant man. The Bible says over 9 feet tall. Okay, that's pretty much it right there. He's got a giant sword. All right, and these two armies are there, and Goliath comes along and says, you know, why should we all fight and kill everybody? I will take on your greatest warrior. We will have a duel, and the winner will win all, and everybody else will go home safe. And he is taunting everybody. He's waving his arms around. He's shaking his sword and taunting the Israelite army. And for days and days, he's taunting them. Who will come and fight me? Who is brave enough in the army? This giant. That part of the story you probably remember. And Goliath is his name, is striking fear into the whole Israelite army. They're all like, oh man, I can't fight that guy. Can you fight that guy? And they're petrified for their life. And this giant is just lording over them. Now this is a true story, folks. This isn't make-believe. So you can imagine the fear that is being felt by anybody who would dare to fight this guy. I mean, you could even get within this close and he would just swipe you with his sword. Amazing. And into this story comes a little boy named David. And David, I better grab a David. Want to come help me now? Thanks, buddy. David is just a young lad. And he's bringing lunch to his brothers who are in the Israelite army. So come on over here. All right. And he sees Goliath mocking the Israelite army. He sees them taunting them, shaking his sword. And David's thinking, he's looking around at the army. He's like, guys, what's the problem, right? It's like, who is this guy challenging the army's guy? And I got to read this because this is the great part. Here's his line. Come over here and read it for us. Verse 26. You might want to read this with us. This is a great line. Classic biblical line here. All right, right here. You read that line that's underlined.
Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
Thank you. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of God? I don't think I want to know whatever Ryan just did. Okay. I may have just lost the whole service here. I'm not even sure what he did. All right. So David is wondering, what is going on, you guys? Why are you letting this guy put fear into you? And the story tells us that he goes to see King Saul, so come over here. And when he's visiting with King Saul, Saul's like, you're just a boy. You want to fight him? Work with me here. He's like, yes, but you're just a boy. All my fighting men. He says, this guy, since he was a youth, and he referred to him as a youth, which means he thought of him as a boy, which probably means he's even younger than a youth. Since his youth, he has been training to be a warrior. And you're not afraid of him?
No.
Good answer. Thank you, David. David was not afraid of this guy. So David takes his sling. He goes down to the battle line with Goliath, and he faces off with Goliath. Maybe he stood up on a hill a little bit, so it didn't look quite as bad. And he takes his sling, and he takes it, and he whips it around, and he nails Goliath in the head. And the Bible says it sunk into his head, and he fell face down on the ground. Thank you, Ryan. All right. Then the part of the story that they always leave out of the kids' Bible books is David takes the sword and chops off Goliath's head. I don't know why they leave that part out. And then he carries it around. So that is the story of David and Goliath, mostly as we would remember as kids growing up. But it tells us that even though David was a boy, God could still use him mightily. And just because he was a boy didn't disqualify him from that situation. Now, in this story, we find out later down in verse 55 that King Saul is wondering the same thing we all would be wondering, and probably the whole army is like, who is that kid? Who is that guy? And even as David was heading down to fight the Philistine, King Saul's like, we got to find out who this guy is. Who's his father? Who is this kid? And we ask that same story as we read this story in the Bible. It's like, who does that? Who takes on a giant as a kid? Who does that kind of stuff? And so we're going to look a little deeper into David. And we're going to go back into chapter 16, just previous to this, because we need to find out a little bit more about this guy and what in the world would make a boy take on a giant. So chapter 16, in verse 1, we find out that Saul has been rejected as king. He has not been trying to do things God's way, and God has rejected him as king of Israel. And we find out that he sends Samuel to anoint a new king. I need 7 young adult guys to come up here really quick. 7 young adult senior youth, come on up here. 1, 2, 3, just come on up here, guys. Don't be shy. Oh, Brandon, sure, buddy. Come on. Right on. First 7, just line up here in a row for me. Right from here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got enough. Brandon, you were too slow. All right. Good try, though. I think he was dragging his feet there, I noticed. All right. That's okay. Actually, I got another part for you, Brandon. Come on back up here, bud. I just thought of where I need you. All right. When Samuel arrives on the scene, God tells him to go and find the sons of Jesse. And I'm going to tell you which one of them is going to be. One of them is going to be the next king. I will tell you when you get there. Just go and offer a sacrifice. And so 7 sons he has standing there. And Samuel arrives on the scene. And he sees the first son. He's like, this must be the one. Look at that haircut. Very nice. Look at those pipes. Very kingly young man here. Very kingly. I like the way he dresses. This guy can go places. And Samuel's thinking in his head, this has got to be the guy. But God says, Samuel, Samuel, I don't look at the things man looks at. Okay? I look at what's inside the heart. Even though you're a good-looking guy, you weren't the chosen one. And he goes down the line to the next son. It's got to be this guy. No. Got to be this guy. He's got an earring in his eyebrow. He's got to be tough. Good king quality. No. No. Sorry. Close but no cigar. No. And Samuel's like, what? But it's got to be one of these sons. Have you got any more sons? Well, we have one more young son who's out in the field with the sheep. Oh, look, there he is now. Why doesn't we call for him? Son, David, come on over here, buddy. Somebody go get him. They send for him. He comes. Now, he was much shorter than this, of course. Much shorter, yes. He's just a boy. Probably was like knee height kind of short. There we go. Very good. So he was one of the young sons. He was out in the field, the shepherd. And God says, this is the one. This is the one I'm going to choose to be the next king. He says, I look inside the heart. So let's just look for a minute at the heart of David. You guys can go sit down. Thank you. If you can turn to Psalm 63. I'm just going to read this. This is a little bit of an insight into the heart of David. David would sit in the as he was watching the sheep, and he would write worship songs to God as a young man. And this he may not have written before this time, but this at least gives us an insight into that heart that God was after. Psalm 63. Let's read this together. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I will remember you. I will think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I will sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And in 62 it says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. In Psalms 139 he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And in Psalms 19, he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my salvation. So David, even as a boy, God saw into his heart that stuff. David at that point was not a giant killer. He was just a boy. But that was David's heart. And he must have started out in those shepherds, when he was out as a shepherd, a young boy, he must have already begun to worship God and declare how incredible God is and praise his name, even as a boy. And God saw that heart. And let's look in 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 55. Sorry. Verse 13. Chapter 16, verse 13. That was the heart that God saw. And this is what happens when Samuel anoints him. He says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came on him, came upon David in power. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. So what was it that made Goliath fall at the hands of a little boy? It was one thing, and one thing only. It wasn't even David's heart. It wasn't that he had learned how to use that sling in a special way. It was one thing. It was the Spirit of God working in his life. We aren't going to face too many giants like Goliath in our lives, I don't think. So kids, don't get the ideas you can go around chopping off the heads of the tallest people you see, okay? That's probably not the calling God has for us. But we certainly all have giants in our lives that we have to face. Things that absolutely strike fear into our hearts. things that cripple us, things that prevent us from doing the very things God wants us to do, things that just strike fear into our hearts and paralyze us. We all have things like that in our lives. Kids here today, when you go to school, you face giant issues there. You face the issue of trying to fit in. And kids forming clubs, and are you part of the club or not part of the club, and kids' feelings being hurt. And you face this giant thing that is happening that you cannot stop. And somehow, you have to overcome that. As you get a little bit older, you enter the preteen years, our junior youth will face challenges that are either going to make or break their entire lives. Drugs is going to be throwing their way. And they are going to have to choose between life and death. A life of addiction and that controls everything in your life. And saying no. And there's going to be peer pressure there to give in. And it's the cool thing to do. And our junior youth are literally facing those things every day. And it's starting younger and younger. The freedom that people will show in sin will be around them. And it will feel so huge. And there's only one way to stand up in the face of that stuff, kids. You need the Spirit of God in you. That is the only way. And for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, we have just as many fears to face. We face the fears of rejection just as much as the kids do. And what will people think? And this world that we live in, we have so many challenges. The world is going one direction, and God is saying, you need to go the other way. That is not how I want you to live. When you're at work and everybody is just giving in to sin and living in sin, and you're trying to stand up again, it is a giant that you have to face. Even our own personalities create these giant problems that we cannot seem to overcome. We have flaws in our personalities. The same personality trait that gets us in one area that helps us in one area. In the other area of our life, it hurts us. And it creates problems, the very same trait. And it gets us into trouble. And it's a part of us that we just can't beat. It's a giant in our lives. And then, of course, we all battle with sin. Sin is a real thing in this world. And the Bible says our enemy seeks to destroy us. And we battle with sin. And it is a battle. And sometimes we don't even recognize the sin in our lives. And then we see it, and it's huge, and it's been there forever. And it's how in the world do we remove that thing? And it is a battle. And some people battle with the same sin for years and years, and they try to beat it. We all face these kinds of giants in our lives, kids, adults. So how do we become a giant slayer like David? It obviously starts with his heart. A heart that wanted God. That wants the Spirit of God to have free reign in his life. A heart that just loves the Lord. Heart that loves to worship the Lord. We see that from half the Psalms being written by David. Loving to praise Him. Loving to lift, folks, kids, listen to me, kids, this is really important, okay? You are not too young to worship God. It starts with a heart that desires to give God the glory that he deserves, when we recognize how small and insignificant we are and how great and awesome God is. That's where worship starts. Kids, you are not too young to enter into worship. Moms and dads, some of us are afraid of what people will think, and we won't sing loud enough. We'll just sing quietly because I don't want people to hear me sing. Or I'll sing when I'm quiet or when I'm alone. God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We cannot be afraid to worship the Lord and to verbalize that. And that is the beginning, I believe, of where God has given freedom. His spirit has just given more freedom in your life. And it's about worshiping it everywhere you go. Unfortunately, I spend most of the time with the kids doing kids' worship songs. So when I'm in line at the grocery store, I'm not singing a nice song that everyone's like, well, that's a nice tune. It's like crazy stuff with actions attached. And it's hard not to let the actions go when you're standing in line and you're bopping to the, you're worshiping the Lord, but I don't care. We have to have hearts that worship him. And we also need the courage. David is an example of courage. I need a couple more helpers here. Some of the kids. I need one, two, five kids. First five kids up here. Come quick. Come quick. One, two, three, four, five. Whoa, 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 whoa. I think we're good. All right, how many I got here? One, two, three, four, five. I think I need one, two, three, four, five. You just hang around here, Josiah. I might need you too, okay? One, two, three. And you hang out beside him. I might need you guys as spare parts, okay? Okay. All right. I got some little sheep ears here. You guys want to put these on for me? All right. I need four sheep. You guys are so cute. You come over here, Marco. All right. You just sit right here for a minute for me, okay? All right. So we have some nice little sheep here. Do we have any sheep sounds? This would be sheep, we call him Spike. All right. You got your ears on? So you guys are just crawling around here eating grass. Okay, and David, Josiah, come over here, bud. We'll make you David. David's just the shepherd here. Shepherd boy watching the sheep by night. Or is that a different song? I'm not sure. Okay, so you're watching your sheep here, David, and you caring for your sheep. You love your sheep. Take good care of your sheep. Aren't they cute? Okay. And meanwhile, okay, this is a story about David that we read in 1 Samuel, when he is talking to Saul, and he's explained to Saul, Saul says, you're just a boy. You're just a boy. Most boys probably said, yeah, you're right, I'm crazy. But David knew something that King Saul didn't know. See, after that moment when the Spirit of God comes on David, and he's in the pasture, and he tells this story to Saul. He says, I was watching my sheep, and a bear came. Here comes the bear, a big growly bear. All right? And he grabs one of the sheep and takes off with the sheep, starts dragging it off. He picks one. Which one's he going to pick? All right, and he drags him off. Don't go too far away. Okay. And this is what happens. David says this. He says, when that bear did that, I'm going to read it because this is nuts. Okay? 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. It says, when a lion, or this is David's words, when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. And he, it says, I struck it. Beautiful. And I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned to, oh, I gotta get this right, when it turned on me, I grabbed it by the hair, I struck it, and I killed it. All right. Thank you, guys. Let's give these guys a hand. Great job. Thank you, guys. Yes, David was just a boy. Yes, he was just a boy. There's something about that boy that was different. It wasn't even just his heart. It was the Spirit of God was on him. What kind of a boy kills a bear with his bare hands? What kind of a boy does that? What kind of a boy goes after a bear that's got a sheep in its mouth? That's what I want to know. It takes courage. And we all have these challenges and giants we face, and we have to have the courage to face these things. It takes courage. But David knew something. He learned something in the field. Right where he was at. And whether you're in school or work, wherever you are at right now, God wants you to learn these things so that when the giants do come, you can take them on because you've dealt with the bears and the lions and the things that have just come your way every day. Just doing what you were placed to do in your life. Psalms 27 gives us a picture of this man of God. This boy, I'm just going to read it to you because his own words say it better than anything I could. This is David's words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high on a rock. That's what made David a giant killer. Complete and utter confidence in his God. Complete and utter confidence. And out of that came courage to face these things. So we come back to my first question. Can a child live truly as a disciple of Christ? And the Bible tells us that if they have made Jesus Lord of their life, then the very same Spirit that was on David, the very same Spirit that works in adults, the very same Spirit that does the things in the Bible that make us just go, who does that stuff? The very same Spirit. If that Spirit is in a child, is there anything he cannot do for God? Or if that Spirit is in us, is there anything we cannot do for God? Any giant we cannot face? I just have a few examples here for you of kids that I have seen where the Spirit of God is working in with them in that same way. I'm just going to start with my own daughters. My girls, since we have introduced them to the Bible and getting them a Bible that they're able to read and enjoy, they absolutely love reading God's Word. And I know that that is the Spirit of God at work in them. Because there's stuff in there they're not going to understand. There's stuff in there that doesn't always make sense. But they have this desire to read God's Word. And I know that the Spirit of God is at work at them. When Madison went to school last last year, one of the first things she faced was she became friends with these girls and they formed a club. And kids, I want you to listen because this is important. Okay, I'm not just talking to moms and dads. I'm talking to you guys today. Okay, my daughter faced this huge challenge where they formed this club and everything was great when everybody was a part of this club, but then people started getting kicked out of the club and she didn't know what to do. And her heart was tormented. She didn't know what to do in the situation. And she came home and talked to us about it, and we could tell she didn't know what to do. And we didn't have any great parental advice or anything for her. We just prayed with her, and she went back, and she decided on her own that she needed to befriend the kids who were being kicked out. Who does that? What kind of kids do that? Boy, I was surprised at that. She came home. I said, Masson, we're going to buy you anything in the world you want. I told her that. I put my limb out there a little bit. But I wanted to ingrain to her that what she did there was special. And we, fortunately, her tastes are not expensive. But I was just so proud of her. My other daughter, Kiwi, was in timeout the other day in her timeout room. And she starts this little book called her timeout book. And she just thought she would start to look through the Bible and find verses that talk about treating people better and loving people. And she, on her own initiative, starts a timeout book. When Trina told me that, I'm just like, are you serious? What kind of a kid starts a timeout book? Folks, I have endless stories from our Kelowna days of kids we were working with. We were busing in kids from the community. Kids who came from what we call the armpit of Kelowna. That was its nickname. We would pick them up on a bus. We would never know how many kids were going to come each week because there were different kids there every week. It was literally, if you want to know where everything bad originated from, it was this area. And we'd just take a bus in there, kids would pile on, we'd meet some of the new ones and take them to church. And out of this area, I can tell you story after story of a child whose life was literally transformed when they met Jesus and became little lights in that area. Lights that would bring their parents to church and get their parents saved. Real living lighthouses for God. We had one special service where we were inviting the Holy Spirit to be a part of kids' lives, and kids that wanted the Holy Spirit to be more involved in their life, they came forward. Kids that had come on our buses. At the end of that service, there were kids that came on our buses that were speaking in tongues. And we never told them anything about that. They had no idea what that was all about. But the Spirit of God came on them. They began to speak in other tongues that we have evidence of in the Bible. What sometimes happens when the Spirit of God comes on you. And we had church kids trying to explain to kids what it was, and they didn't even really know. So obviously the Spirit of God does not discriminate against our kids. Just last Sunday at our graduation Sunday, one of the kids in this church, Trinity Aulis, was in, is Trinity here today? Trinity was, during our graduation service, we were graduating the grade ones, for those who are going into grade one, up into the new program. And some of the kids, it's a big change. You're in a new room with leaders you don't know, and you're pretty much freaked out of your mind. And I saw one of these kids that was having a really hard time. And little Trinity, all on her own, with no prompting, nobody telling her to do this. I saw her reach over and just start comforting the little girl and then start leaning over and talking to her. And like, what kind of kid does that? So kids and youth and young people here today, there's one thing you got to know. You are not the church of the future, okay? You are part of the church today. It doesn't matter how old you are. You have less things in your life that will hinder you from full out living for God than you will as an adult. And now is the best time to do it. To get to a place where you just live full hearted for God. When I was a young person, people used to come and speak at camps and different things, and I would hear this so many times it drove me crazy. When I was your age, boy, I wish I would have started serving God then. Boy, I wish I would have taken advantage of the opportunity then when you're with all your friends. And I got so sick of hearing that. I just kept telling myself one thing. I do not want to ever say that if I ever talk to a kid. I don't want to say, boy, I wish I would have done it. And there are kids and young people here today. You need to make that decision for yourself, that you're not going to just look back one day and say, oh, I wish I would have. But you're going to live for God right now, right where you are and right where you're at. The greatest years of my life were my school years. When God came into my life and saved me, I spent the rest of my school days just trying to bring my friends to Jesus. The greatest moments in my life are memories of sitting with my friends, praying the sinner's prayer. Kids, you don't have to wait till you're an adult. Those are the greatest memories I have in my life. When I was a teenager, I got this hand-me-down car, a Chevy Impala. Okay? This is literally one of the biggest cars man has ever created. It's basically a boat on wheels. And when I would, I was just so excited about bringing my friends to church and to the Jesus. We would just, all my hockey buddies and stuff, we just started packing this car with them and driving them in once I got my license. But this was just on the brink of when seatbelts became law. I think I had a year or two before that hit. I think our record in my Chevy was 23 guys. I won't tell you where they were all placed in the car, but we were taking them to church. Packed in there like sardines. And it was the best times of my life. And fortunately, there's now seatbelt rules. So don't try that, kids and young people, because it's not safe. Just get more cars or something. But those were the best days of my life. And kids, you can live for God right now. And moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, there's no giant you are facing today that the Spirit of God is not bigger than. Not even close. So don't be afraid. Adults, I'm afraid we let the fear grab a hold of us more than the kids do. So today that's for us as adults. Well, we did say we were going to baptize some kids today. So we better do that. And I have if our kids would come up who are going to be baptized today, come up here and stand beside me. I'm just going to quickly interview them here, and then we're going to baptize them. If I could get, I'm not sure the tank's covered here, so if I could get some folks to help us there, just get the tank ready as we interview the kids. So come on up here. All right. Come on up here, kids, right up here beside me. All the kids that were part of my class this morning. We did a baptism class with these guys. I like to make sure they're ready and they know what this step is that they're making in their life. So come on over here, you guys, line all up. That's great. All right. Is everybody here? All right. These are the kids who have just from us letting them know that there's opportunity to be baptized, have called me and wanted to come into the class. And so I've prepared them a little bit today with our class. We reviewed what salvation is all about, and they've all made that step. We've talked about the symbolism of baptism, what it means, and why Jesus wants us to get dunked in water instead of sprinkled with flowers or something. So we looked at that a little bit, and we talked about what it means to live for the Lord. And these kids are all ready and excited about this. Some a little nervous, but I think by the time we got them ready, they're feeling a lot more confident. You guys all ready? Give me the thumbs up, okay? All right. So I'm just going to go through them here, and we have just four questions that I like to ask them just to help you get a better sense of them and where they're at, their walk with the Lord. So first here, tell us your name.
Stacy.
Stacy, how old are you?
9.
9 years old. And do you remember a time? Tell us when you first gave your heart to the Lord, or any significant times where you remember really deciding that you want Jesus to be your Lord.
Well, there was one time on the radio. I remember a pastor was talking about it. I wasn't sure if I had already given myself to the Lord and if I was sure about it. So I was praying with the pastor on the radio.
And that was the first, well, that was the second time you told us, right? You may have done it when you were 4 and then you weren't sure, so she just, there's a plug for radio ministry right there. All right. And tell us why you want to be baptized today.
I just want to be like God.
You want to serve Him all your days?
Yes.
You love Him?
Yes.
Is He Lord of your life?
Yes.
All right, we are going to baptize you today. Let's give her a hand. Just come over here. You know, one of the things that I believe in more than anything is that you don't have to have a big testimony to get baptized. I would rather they create a testimony that's going to be honoring and glorious to God. And that's what we're going to pray for when we're done with these kids here. Tell us your name.
Riley.
How old are you, Riley?
9.
Are you going to get baptized with your hat on?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember a time when you first gave your heart to the Lord, or a significant time in your life?
I think it was when I was 6 at Kids Alive.
There's a plug for Kids Alive. Where's Corey? I thought I saw him here. All your work, buddy. It's awesome. All right, Riley. You want to be baptized today, is that right?
Yeah.
How come?
My answer's on my hat.
Your answer's on your hat. It says, I love Jesus. There we go. Right on, Riley. It's awesome, buddy. All right, Marco. Oops. What's your name?
Marco.
How old are you?
11.
Are you going to get baptized with your earrings on today?
Yeah.
Okay. Just got to check all these things. Tell us if there was a time when you first gave your heart to the Lord that was significant to you.
I think I was 9, and it was when I was here when we were learning the Ten Commandments.
All right. So that was just this past fall. That's awesome, buddy. And why do you want to be baptized today?
Because I want to follow Jesus.
All right. Let's give Marco a hand. Thanks, buddy. Marco, are you going to serve Him all your days?
Yeah.
With all your heart?
Yeah.
Good man. Tell us your name.
Adina.
Adina, how old are you?
7.
And tell us a time when you really gave your heart to the Lord.
At my house with my dad when I was 3.
Wow. So you've been serving Him all the time since you were 3?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And your mom said you were really excited at the opportunity to get baptized. Is that true?
Yeah.
Right on. And why do you want to get baptized today?
Because I love God.
Oh, that's awesome. We are going to baptize you today. Let's give her a hand, all right? All right, sweetie. Tell us your name.
Madison.
How old are you?
7.
And are you going to get baptized in that awfully pretty dress?
Yes.
Did you specially make that dress just for today?
No.
Did your mom?
No.
Did I make it for you?
No.
Just checking. While, tell us when you significant time when you gave your heart to the Lord?
When I was 3 years old.
When you were 3 years old, was it with your mom or dad?
Mom.
With your mom? That's awesome. And why do you want to be baptized today?
I love Jesus.
Because you love Jesus? You want to serve him all your life?
Yes.
You want to live for him?
Yes.
All right, sweetie. We are going to baptize you today, too. Tell us your name.
Ayan.
How old are you?
12.
Are you nervous?
Yeah.
Ayan is nervous, but that's okay. We love Ayan, don't we, folks?
Yeah.
All right. So tell us when you made that important step of asking Jesus to be your Lord.
It was at YC. Like, I never praised the Lord that much, and he really touched my heart at YC.
So just this past, was it last weekend or 2 weekends ago? 2 weekends ago. Do you think there's any kind of a timeline you have to be saved for so long before you can get baptized?
No.
I think that's right. I think you're right. I don't think there's any clauses on that. So tell us why you want to be baptized, Ayan.
Because I want to follow Jesus.
All right, sweetie. You're going to serve him all your days?
Yes.
You love him? Is he Lord of your life?
Yes.
All right, Ian. Well, we are happy to baptize you today, so come on over here. Tell us your name.
Niels.
How old are you?
Almost 14.
Almost 14. So that makes you 13. Okay. Just checking.
Good math.
All right. Well, you weren't nervous at all, were you? He's like, let's get her done. I'm ready. Tell us a significant time when you gave your heart to the Lord.
Oh, I was at this camp when I was 8 years old, I think, or maybe 9. And, yeah, I was at this Bible camp.
You've been living for the Lord since then?
Yeah.
Why do you want to be baptized today?
Well, I always loved Christ, but up until, like, YC, didn't really sink in, so now I think it's time.
Good man, good man. So we do drill these guys with things about their faith. He's the oldest one here, so we're going to ask him a tough question to see if he was listening this morning. You ready for this?
Okay.
So we talked about the fact that, you know, maybe if you're a good enough person, you can get to heaven. Is that true?
No.
How come?
Because nobody's good enough to be in heaven.
Yeah, somebody was listening. That's right. What is the only way by which we can be saved?
Believe in Jesus.
Believe in Jesus. You're right on, buddy. You ready to be baptized?
Yeah.
All right, brother. Let's give him a hand. All right. And lastly, but certainly not least here, we have Toby.
Tyler.
Okay, Toby. How old are you?
13.
This is Tyler. We love Tyler. All right, buddy, you're 13 years old, and do you remember a time when you gave your heart to the Lord?
Well, when I was 8 years old, I was sent to the principal's office.
This might be the one long testimony here.
It was a Christian school, so the principal asked if I accepted Jesus into my heart, and then we did it together.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Was that with Mr. Light?
Yes.
Mr. Light. He's an awesome guy at the Lethbridge Christian School. Well, why do you want to be baptized, Tyler?
Well, because I've never been baptized before, so I want to try it for once, and...
Are you planning to do this on a regular basis, or...?
No.
Okay. Do you love Jesus, Tyler?
Yes.
You want to serve him all your days?
Yes.
You want him to be Lord of your life?
Yes.
What about when friends are going the other way? Are you going to join them and turn from God?
No.
Are you going to serve him and love him?
Yes.
All right, buddy. We're going to baptize you. Okay, well. All right, you guys. We are going to do this. Ryan is just going to play some worship music while we take the kids over and baptize them. So you can just worship God and celebrate as these lives give their hearts fully to the Lord today. Okay? I have to go get dressed in the back room, so you guys are just going to wait over here for a few minutes till I come out. So just enter into the worship and love the Lord this morning as we get ready to do that. And don't be afraid to cheer when we baptize these guys. It's something we're celebrating.
Calling all the nations to your praise.
All right, let's give those guys a hand today. Great job. All right. There'll be lots more opportunities in the future. There'll be more opportunities for kids that want to make that decision. We'll give you opportunities in the future. So now that you've seen it happen, maybe you'll be ready for the next one. All right, well, let's close in prayer this morning. Amen, Jesus. Well, Father God, we just thank you for this great day. It's always exciting to see young people that just want to serve you, Lord, to build a testimony that honors and glorifies you. Lord, we pray for each of those children. Lord, we pray that they would be Davids for you. They would be Davids for you, God. They wouldn't be afraid of the world or anything in it, but Lord, they'd be so full of you. Father, today we can only baptize them in water, but you said you would baptize them in the Holy Spirit. And we ask that your Spirit would baptize those kids today, those young people, Lord, that your Spirit would be so real and powerful in their life that nothing puts fear in their heart. We ask for that in Jesus' name. And folks, if there's people here today, Lord, there may be people here that don't even know you yet. Lord, we pray that today they would make that decision to make you Lord of their own life and to invite you in to start that beautiful work of making a new creation. So, Lord, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would call out to you today. Because we know you're right there waiting for them. You've been waiting for them their whole lives. And as they have seen the children step forward, being willing to give their whole lives to you, Lord, they recognize their own need for that. Lord, would you bless those folks here today? And if that's you here today, please don't leave without talking to a pastor or an elder or somebody who you see who you just think you could talk to, a friend, about what it means to have Jesus Lord of your life. Thank you for this great day, Lord. Go with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.